It is Sunday morning, September the 8th, and across the country this morning, many churches will be holding memorial services in response to 9/11 a year ago. I thought it would be good for us to consider God and 9/11. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God Almighty, we do acknowledge that you are the sovereign ruler of all the universe and of all history. And we pray this morning that you will be pleased to bless your word to our hearts, to give us understanding and peace and rest about your providence, not only in 9/11, but in all the events in our life today. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Immediately following the attack a year ago at 9/11, there came about many television programs, and many of the clergy across the country attempted to explain what was taking place. Some of the sad answers by the clergy brought great confusion to many people. And so I thought it would be good this morning to consider the possible theories of what really took place there and who is responsible. Now, first of all, one theory is that it was totally a human thing. God was not involved. It was the expression of human beings, uncontrolled, and out of their own evil heart. A second theory is that it was totally of Satan. God was not involved, and Satan was in control. Another theory is that God was caring, but helpless to overcome human free will. That human beings were expressing their will and desires and purpose, and God couldn't do anything about it. A fourth theory is that God was allowing the event for judgment on sinful USA. That our country had fallen into such a condition that God had to come in judgment. Now, I disagree with that because the United States is a country where we have the gospel, where we send out missionaries, and although we have many problems, there is no reason for God to judge the U.S. more than other countries. A fifth theory would be that God was allowing the event to bring attention to evil, that the depths of sin into which humanity has fallen and the hatred which prevails was allowed to bring attention to that. One of the questions that's primarily asked is, where was God when all this tragedy and death and catastrophe took place? Where was he? And my answer is this. He was there. God was there. And in order to understand this event, we have to understand God and all of history, not just this isolated event. Considering God and all suffering, all death, all tragedy, all catastrophe, God and 9/11. The first passage I want to refer to is Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. I'll take time to turn to that, and then I'll read it. It is Ephesians 1, 9, verse 11, where Paul is explaining to the Ephesian Christians and to the church what God has done. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. God has predestinated all history, all things, according to his own will. God is not victimized by Satan or human will. He works all things according to his predestined purpose throughout all history. Another passage I want to refer to, and you need not turn to it, is Job chapter 1, where we read that Satan appeared before God, and God initiated all that took place there between Satan and Job. And Satan was given a certain freedom to persecute Job and bring about suffering, but it was under the control of God. Job was never in control. Satan was never in control. God was in charge, bringing about good out of Job's suffering. God is in the suffering. Another passage that reveals the depth and wonder of God's control is found in Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. Now, the context of this passage is in regard to King Nebuchadnezzar, who at one point was walking around on his palace, and he said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" And because of that arrogant pride, God struck him. And he became as a wild man and almost as an animal. And then at God's predestined moment, he released Nebuchadnezzar from this condition. Verse 34 of chapter 4. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven. My understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him who lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God was in New York at 9/11, in control and in charge. Another passage to which I want to refer this morning is in Isaiah chapter 45 and verses 5 through 7. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 7. Who is in charge and who is in control of all the events in all the flow of history? Here is God's own testimony as to who he is. Verse 5 of Isaiah 45. I am the Lord, and there is no else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. This is God's own testimony as to who he is and his involvement in all the affairs of life, good and bad, difficulties and joys. So, in reading this as a response to 9/11, the reactions are really twofold. One is that God is too good to be involved in suffering and death, and that he would not do this to anyone. The other response is that God is too loving. He is a God of love, and he would never be involved in such an event as 9/11. I want to refer to an event in the life of Israel. It's in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 35. And it has to do with the Assyrians ready to launch an attack upon Israel. And Sennacherib is the leader of the Assyrians, and they are ready. And with verse 35 we read of 2 Kings 19, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. 185,000 people slain by the Lord, by God's own initiation and action. Where was God? He was there. He was involved. He was doing this. Another answer to the fact or the reaction that God is too good or too loving, I think we just have to remember Genesis and the flood. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 21. Well, let's begin reading at Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, it is recorded, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And the rains came, and the floods came, And we have Genesis chapter 7, verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living thing was destroyed which was on the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, that and they that were with him in the ark. Talk about catastrophe or tragedy and death. Was God there? Was God involved? God initiated it. God caused it. And he is not only a God who is loving and good, he is a God of justice. And for God to be God, he must bring punishment upon those who rebel against him and against those who are disobedient, or he is not a God of justice. The God, the Almighty God, was in New York at 9/11. Now, let's summarize what we must think about this. Number one, do not let human sentimental logic dethrone God. Do not try to come up with answers or explanation that defy biblical authority. What we believe must come out of biblical authority, not out of what I think or you think or anyone else thinks. The Bible is our only source of authority. We must not let our sentiment rule what we believe. Number two, do not let the attempts of human explanations dishonor God's sovereignty. And this is exactly what is happening across the country. Dethroning God, ripping him right out of the heavens, and bringing him down to a human level because he was unable to control the event. Do not let that happen to you. Do not dishonor God's sovereignty. Thirdly, be thankful that God is in control of all history. Satan is not. Evil people are not. Chance is not in control. And we should be most thankful for that this morning. That our life is not subject to the authority of some satanic power, or evil people, or a roll of the dice. Our life is controlled by the Lord God Almighty, who is bringing about providence for his own purposes. Fourthly, trust him at all times. God has his purpose for all things. And although we might not have answers, all the answers, we do have biblical authority to which we can refer to reveal to us the Lord God, who is to be trusted at all times. Number five, live with expectation for God's eternal plan for His people. When the children of Israel were in Egypt and suffered great persecution, and the great plagues came upon the land of Egypt, God took care of His people. Whatever happens on this earth as a believer, God will take care of you, and we live for eternity for God's eternal plan for His people. Number six, bear witness of the gospel to the unsaved who are living in fear and confusion with no satisfying answers, and are really not getting satisfying answers from the clergy across the country. Think of what it would be like to be without the Lord and attempt to explain life and live with this kind of fear, and to be so confused. Let us bear witness of the gospel to the unsaved and see them set free in the grace of God. And number seven, worship Him as the sovereign Lord God Almighty. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ruler of heaven and earth, of all history, of 9/11, and bring it right home to our lives this morning. Will you at this moment trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and trust Him with your present circumstances? What is happening in your life today? Will you trust Him this morning? And will you worship Him? You will if you believe in the Lord God as the Almighty One, as the sovereign ruler of history and of your life. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that the passages of Scripture that we read, and that the power of the Holy Spirit will make them come alive and live in our hearts, that we may give unto the Lord the glory due His name, and that we may honor your sovereignty, and that we may live under your authority and trust you at all times. Give us great faith this morning to live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.